On Wednesday, we'll know for good whether or not the Christopher Columbus statue in South Philadelphia is coming down. After protest at the statue, Mayor Kinney proposed its removal as a matter of public safety. In a few days, the Philadelphia Art Commission will vote on whether to approve it. Philadelphia is a city filled with historical markers that honor white men claiming to have built the nation. But Morgan Ridgway says a bigger part of history is missing.
I grew up with having a really strong understanding of like where we're from, who we are, in spite of sort of everything else that kind of tells you otherwise in Philly, where Lenape presence isn't really that clear if it's talked about at all. So I learned that we were still here before I learned who Columbus was. And I think that's kind of emblematic of how I grew up.
Morgan grew up in West Philadelphia. He is Black and Lenape, a PhD candidate in history and indigenous studies, focusing on the Philadelphia area. And he is questioning something many other people of color are during this time of racial reckoning. Why, in a city that takes pride in being the birthplace of America, is there so little about the Native people who were there from the beginning? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why.
Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, it's all Lenape territory. My family has grown up in our homelands for the last 200-something years. You know, I can go to this one place in Delaware and see six generations back, like, fairly easily. Like, we have access to our family history in ways that are really, really deep and kind of shape our understandings of where we are. So my family was really adamant with me that was the most important thing. That in spite of everything that I'm going to learn as a child, as an adult, even now, that people say about Indigenous people, that, like, our family has been here and will continue to be here.
You know, you always knew about your heritage growing up because your family told you, but did you learn anything about it in school?
You know, you have your Native American unit in mostly elementary schools. And we talked sort of generally about Indigenous history, sort of, and it's often in this kind of, there used to be Indigenous people here, and then there's sort of like three options, right? That everyone was killed, that everyone moved somewhere else, and no one exists like in the present moment. And if they do, they're all like somewhere else, like maybe in Oklahoma or maybe sort of on a reservation. Like, those are kind of the three major tracks, I think, in my schooling, which ended up getting me in trouble because I was a, let's say, opinionated child. I want to say it's second or third grade where we're talking about teepees and pueblos and, you know, these were the Indian Wars and now everyone's gone. And I remember being really adamant that that wasn't true. And I remember being like, well, that's not my family. Those aren't my grandparents. That's not my aunt. Why are you telling me this? You know, you're not supposed to talk back to teachers. And so I got in trouble. And I remember going home and telling my mom about it. And like, looking back on it, it was, I think, to kind of protect me in school. But for her, she was like, you know who you are. You know where your family's from. You know what our history is. But you also know that this is school and I want you to do well. So you have to, like, give them the right answers. And so for her, it was kind of like teaching me to double think. In school, there's a version of Indigenous history that doesn't map on to like our reality. And I have to be able to like figure out that that's different.
Morgan, we both know that Philadelphia draws tourists from all over the world who come to see Independence Mall and the Liberty Bell and learn about the so-called Founding Fathers. How is Lenape culture represented in the city?
In Philadelphia, sort of proper, where we draw a lot of our tourists and things, the only piece that we have is at Front and Market, which is like right at the entrance to the Vine Street Expressway. There's a statue of a Lenape man, Tamanin, who is said to be the chief who shook hands with William Penn in 1682, which Philadelphia kind of repackages as the kind of giving away of Pennsylvania and the sort of like spirit of brotherly love. That's the kind of image that we have. When you walk up to the statue, he's standing on top of a turtle with an eagle on his shoulder, and he's holding a wampum belt. The eagle is said to represent sort of being a messenger of the Great Spirit, and the wampum belt is meant to represent the exchange of a kind of friendship treaty between William Penn and Tamanin. That statue is the only representation that we have of Indigenous history. Everything else in the city talks about Native people through the lens of the English or like other settlers. So we have a lot of stuff around William Penn. We have a lot of stuff around Ben Franklin or Thomas Jefferson as a way of talking about the fact that Native people are no longer here.
There's another monument in the city, the Swan Memorial Fountain, which features depictions of three Native American figures. And this statue is in Logan Circle. And the park is actually named after James Logan, who has a history that includes swindling local Native Americans. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
As a kind of intro, William Penn, the founder of the Pennsylvania Colony, two sons, John Penn and Thomas Penn, who in 1736 wanted to claim a deed in which Stillanape promised to sell a piece of land that began at the upper Delaware River and its junction with the Lehigh River, which is around eastern Pennsylvania, to give you kind of a map. And it extended as far west as a man could walk in a day and a half. And so this treaty became known as the Walking Purchase of 1737. The issue, and sort of why he's so notorious, is that this document is an unratified treaty at best, and at worst, it's just an outright forgery, and that the Penn's land agents had already begun selling land in the Lehigh Valley area long before any of this had even been decided. And so this caused a lot of conflict, as you would expect. They hired James Logan to produce a map of this area to sort of justify what this land grab would have been. James Logan prepared a cleared trail to make it easier for these three settlers to walk as fast as possible, to take as much land as possible. And so what would have been about 40 miles turned into 70 miles, and the English ended up taking an area of land that includes seven Pennsylvania counties. It's roughly the size of Rhode Island, if that gives a little bit of context for how much land was actually taken.
So we are naming a prominent circle in Philadelphia and putting three Native American statues in a circle that's named after a man who ripped off Native Americans. With that kind of revisionist history, it's like hard to try to undo something like that because it's been there for such a long time. Same way with the Columbus statues. But, you know, with this moment that we're in, maybe people can listen a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. I remember I have like family who thought that the Columbus statue would never leave. I had family who thought the Rizzo statue would never leave. And it's 2020, and we might be in a really different landscape for the city. And I think that's a really powerful statement, that something might be coming.
When we come back,
there should be, I think, a sort of a presence and a really concerted effort to include Lenape history as both past, present, and future in the city.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall talking to PhD candidate Morgan Ridgway. One of the conversations that we're having about how we should memorialize in the city has come to a head over the Columbus statue in South Philadelphia. It was one that drew a lot of attention during the Black Lives Matter protests. And of course, those protesters were saying that the statue needs to go because of Columbus's treatment of indigenous people. But then you saw the Italian Americans in South Philly and others defending the statue because they said that, you know, if you remove the statue, you'd be removing their history. And so now the city's historical commission has voted to remove it. What do you make of that moment? And do you think it makes a difference to take down that statue?
I do think it does make a difference. Those statues are kind of representations of the idea that Native people are dead, are dying, are not wanted, are not present. And to see that every day, it can be really demoralizing, right? We're saying that this man who, if we're thinking about the history of things, he never set foot on this landmass. He certainly never was in Philadelphia. And he kind of ushered in this whole era of violence against Native people that is still going on today. Like, when we're talking about what we should memorialize or what statues should be where or what things should be named, we have to be really honest about who those people are, what happened, and what they brought with them. And it's not enough to say, well, they did one good thing or they represented one person this way, to kind of avoid the really hard truths that often are the case with people like Columbus, with James Logan, when we have Logan Circle, right? Like, these men did a lot of really terrible things. And unless we talk about that, I don't think that they should really be there. At the same time, I understand the feeling from a lot of Italian Americans, because he's an Italian, and sort of they see that as part of their history. But Italian history is vast and isn't only Columbus, right? So if we're talking about how do we preserve Italian American history, because there are a lot of Italian Americans in Philadelphia, the conversation could be about what else we could do rather than preserving the statue of someone who is part of a long legacy of murder.
We know that the statue of Columbus is pretty likely going to come down. What other things do you think the city should be thinking about when it comes to including indigenous history in our story?
Being a Lenape person, I think that we should be center because this is Lenape territory. We draw a lot of tourist dollars to these specific places on purpose, and there's no reference to, like, you're not going to see that statue at Front and Market Street unless you already kind of know it exists. And people who are tourists don't already know something exists, right? So there should be, I think, a sort of a presence and a really concerted effort to include Lenape history as both past, present, and future in the city.
We are in a unique historical moment now where people are focused in on racial justice and inclusivity. How do you think that we can seize this time, this moment that we're in, to tell a more inclusive history?
I think, and maybe this is because I'm a perpetual optimist in spite of everything, I think people are more willing to listen right now. I think we're in a moment where when we're seeing statues come down, we're seeing football, you know, team name changes, we're seeing a lot of these, like, really big conversations on, like, how do we preserve history, who counts, and all of that. I think those conversations open up a possibility for re-education. To re-educate people, we have to support the communities who would teach us. So that means that this social change is about supporting Indigenous communities, supporting Black communities, saying, you know your own histories. We are giving you the opportunity to re-educate us, because what we've been doing for tens of hundreds of years is not working. And I think we're in a moment right now where people are more, at least I hope, that people are more willing to listen, right? That the conversations we're having around monuments and preservations of history are really about community building. And I think that's the really beautiful thing.
Well, Morgan, thank you so much for talking to us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for the opportunity. This is fun.
Morgan Ridgway is a PhD candidate at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Benyakov, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd Circa, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Today's episode was produced by Buffy Gorilla, and we had editing help from Ariella Cohen. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay well. We'll talk tomorrow.